you please turn with me today in your Bibles to the book of the prophet Jeremiah. That passage that we read from earlier this morning, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. The book of the prophet Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And our subject this morning is God's thoughts of peace. God's thoughts of peace. What a wonderful subject for us to consider at the end of an old year and at the beginning of a new year. God's thoughts of peace toward us. Well, these are, of course, the words of the Lord our God, given through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a priest and a prophet who lived and ministered roughly around 600 years before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Old Testament, of course. And just to very briefly give some context, during his ministry, well, the children of Israel in the southern kingdom of Judah and Jerusalem, they were overcome. They were conquered by another nation, the mighty Babylonians, led by King Nebuchadnezzar. He conquered Judah and Jerusalem. And when he conquered them, well, we read at the very beginning of the chapter, he carried away many captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Many of the children of Israel removed from their homeland to a strange land, to Babylon. And Jeremiah, in this chapter, he's writing a letter to those who have been led away captive. He's writing a letter to those who have been moved from Jerusalem to Babylon. And, well, I won't spend long on this, but his message is quite strange. His message to those who are held captive is that you have to make the best of it. You're in a strange nation. You've been taken away from your homeland. He says you have to make the best of it. Don't listen to any of these false prophets who say you'll be home in no time, who try and lift you up and make you feel happy by saying your captivity won't last. No, the Lord our God has said that after 70 years, then you'll be allowed to go home. A whole generation will die out before you are returned to Jerusalem. That is the truth of the matter, and that is how God has ordained it. But there is that promise that even though it will take 70 years for them to return to Jerusalem, it will surely come to pass. It is a promise. The children of Israel will not forever be banished in Babylon. They will return, and that's what gives rise to these words in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You will come home. You won't be abandoned. Well, that's the context, the historical context. But I'm going to take the words out of context and speak about this verse in its own right. This verse, and I'm sure many of you know, well, it is very often taken out of context, sent to individual Christians on cards or on letters, because these words are so comforting. They're so encouraging for us. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Particularly if we are going through difficult times, these words throughout many generations have been of great comfort to many, many Christians. So we think upon these words and we derive great comfort from them even this morning. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Well, isn't it, just to start off with, an amazing thing to think that God thinks about us? Almighty God thinks about us. What a wonderful thing to consider. It's a wonderful thing, of course, when anybody thinks about us. Whenever we get a text or an email from somebody that we know saying, "Oh, I was thinking about you the other day, and I thought I'd send you a text," or "I was thinking about you the other day, I thought I'd give you a ring." Well, doesn't that warm our hearts? Doesn't that stir us up? That person, he was thinking of me, or she was thinking of me. That warms us. That gives us great comfort. But well, how much more ought we to take comfort when we think of God thinking about us? God who is the infinite God, almighty. God who we read in the scriptures cannot be contained by this universe. This universe is so vast, we cannot measure it as human beings, but we read in the scriptures that God is greater. God is vaster than the universe. He is so almighty, almighty power. Everything is in his hands. He's our creator God. He spoke everything into existence, the heavens and the earth. All life on this earth is because of God. Life in all its complexity and wonderful design. This almighty God, he thinks about us. We human beings, who are so small in comparison, who are often so weak, we can't even make our way through this life, so weak and so foolish. God thinks about us. There's one tremendous psalm. David the psalmist wrote in Psalm 8, he says to the Lord, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou art mindful of him?" It's almost as though he's saying, "God, why do you bother with us? God, you're so glorious. You're so powerful. You're so vast. We're so small. We're so insignificant. Why do you even bother with us? What is man that thou art mindful of him?" But you see, the fact that he does tells us so much about God. How kind he is, how gracious he is, that even though he is eternal, even though he is all glorious and infinite and almighty, he is so kind and gracious that he deals with us. He thinks about us, poor and needy as we are. That's how kind God is. God is not like a man. We're often too high and mighty to think about people who we think are below us. God is not like that. God thinks about us because he is kind and gracious. And yet, how often do we think about God? How often do we think about God? Is God always in our thoughts? He ought to be. God ought to be in our thoughts. Sadly, and I speak to all of us here, believers and unbelievers, we can go whole days, of course, without thinking about God. We can go whole weeks without thinking about God. Is it perhaps the case that sometimes the only time we think about God is when we come to church? We've forgotten about him the rest of the week, haven't even given him a second's thought, and then we come to church, and then suddenly we're compelled to think about him. Well, dear friends, that's not right. God thinks about us. If we are Christians, if we call ourselves Christian, we ought to think about him every day. Thinking of God, praying to him every day, bringing all your needs to him, reading from the Word of God every day. And when we read from the Word of God, we think about what it means. What does this mean for me? We actually think about it. We don't just read it and forget it as though it's some sort of chore or routine. We remember how important this is to us. We think about God just like we would think about our wives or our husbands or our children. They're continually upon our minds. God ought to be the same. And this is so very important. But maybe, well, I exhort people who don't know the Lord. Maybe there are some who are with us this morning. You must think about God. even if you're an unbeliever, even if you've never had anything to do with him, you must think about God. God thinks about you. Nobody is unknown to God. Do you think whether God is real? Do you ever think why you are here? What's the meaning of life? Do you think deeply about these things? Sometimes you speak to unbelievers. You try to ask these questions. They say to you, oh, I've never really thought about that. It's never really come into my thinking. Dear friends, you have to think. God has given you a brain. He's given you a brain not just to think about daily things, about shallow things, about what to watch on TV and sports and things like that. He's given you a brain to think about deep and profound things. And when we think about these things, well, then we'll draw near to God. Every Christian has a testimony of conversion. And almost every testimony I've read, well, what made them seek God? What made them become a Christian? Well, each and every one, they actually began to think about things. They began to think about the meaning of life. They stopped worrying about trivial things and caught up with just small things. They started actually thinking about God and about the meaning of life and about eternal things. So, dear friends, you must think. Make that your resolution for the new year. I will begin to think more deeply about God. But let us think about these words more deeply here this morning. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. But note what these thoughts are. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts of peace. Well, how much peace have you had in 2017? We stand at the end of a year. How much peace have you had in 2017? Do you know what peace even is? If you've had peace, how long has it lasted? Has it lasted the whole year, or has it only been very short? Peace. This is what God offers us. Peace of this world cannot compare. I remember when I was unsaved, before I was a Christian, if I wanted peace, I would normally go on holiday somewhere far away, the further the better, go on some idyllic retreat, and yes, while you're there, everything is very good and nice, all is well, but you know, always, toward the end of the holiday, that peace would start to dissolve. You'd start to think about returning home. You'd start to think about all the stresses that await you at home, about going back to work, about all the deadlines that you have to meet, about all the bills that you have to pay and other things, family issues perhaps. All that peace would start to dissolve. You could never hold on to that peace. It was like a pretend peace, so short, almost imaginary. And so this is what the peace of this world is like. This is the best we can have in this world. I'm not saying you should never go on holiday, but what I'm saying is that God's peace, that's true peace. That's peace that you can hold on to, that's always with you. It never dissolves, it's never taken away from you. That is the tremendous peace that we have as the Lord's people. When you come to Christ, well, you know that you are right with God. God is your greatest friend. God will guide you. God will lead you. God, who is almighty and over all things, he will protect you. That gives you tremendous peace. And even in difficult times, when things go wrong, well, the Lord is there to help you, to lift you up every time you fall. We have a tremendous promise in Isaiah 43. Well, so many promises in the scriptures. But God says to us, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. We all pass through many difficult things. But when God is with us, they cannot harm us. They cannot overflow us. They cannot do anything at all. All is well, and all will be well. When you have peace with God, you don't just know that all is well, you know that all will be well. Even if the very worst happened, even if you were taken ill, even if you were to die, you know that all will be well. We don't fear death. We know that if we come to that day when we have to pass from this world, all will be well. We're right with God. We know that we shall go to be with the Lord, that there is eternal, everlasting life for us, eternal peace, eternal joy. The scriptures say that for Christian people, death is gain. It's actually gain. It's better than one's life. And that, of course, gives us peace. Peace that no man can take away from us. Peace that this world cannot give. So, dear friends, again, if you don't know the Lord, I urge you to seek after that peace. But of course, we have to understand, and this is so very important, if we want this peace, we have to understand and acknowledge something very essential and fundamental. This peace that every Christian person has come at a price. This peace has come at a price. It's not a price that we have to pay, but it has come at a price nonetheless. When there is peace, let us think perhaps about the end of a war, any war. Well, a war will end with peace. That's how it ends. A war, a great conflict, ends with peace. But in order for peace to be accomplished, well, we know that there was a price. We know that people had to die in order for us to reach that peace. That's what we remember. Remembrance Sunday every year. The Cenotaph in London. The Queen remembers those who have died in conflict, in war, so that we can have peace in our time. So when a Christian thinks about peace and the peace that he has in his heart, he knows that someone had to die for that peace. Who was it? It was the Lord Jesus Christ who had to die for the peace that we know in our souls, in our lives. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who had to die. Every Christian knows that there was once a time when he was at war with God. He was on opposing sides. He was a rebel sinner against God. He did not want the authority of God in his life. He did not want anything to do with God. They were on opposing sides, man and God. But every Christian knows that Christ came to die, to take upon himself the punishment for their sin, for their rebellion, that there may be peace with God. Christ has removed that sin and taken it upon himself. And on the cross, he suffered the wrath of God, the punishment that we deserved, so that there may be peace between us and God. That's why Christ died. Peace has been made only through the shedding of his blood. And these are the thoughts of peace, ultimately, that God has toward us, that we know that peace, that we acknowledge Christ, and that we put all our faith in him. That price, we didn't pay it, Christ paid it, but through faith in him, we are saved, and we have everlasting peace in our lives. But dear friends, let's just look at this verse again. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil. That's interesting. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. You know, if you reject God, and there may be some who are hardening their hearts even now as I speak, even if you reject God this year, well, in a way, in a very real way, you are wishing evil upon yourself this year. If I reject God, I'm going to be stubborn in my unbelief. Do you know what you're doing? You're not wishing peace upon yourself in this coming year. You're wishing evil upon yourself. Now, what am I saying? Am I saying that if you reject God, everything will go wrong in your life? There'll be huge catastrophes and so forth. Personal tragedies? Well, not necessarily. In fact, you could reject God and have a very successful year. That's possible. But what I'm saying is that if you purpose to live your life without God, you personally will suffer. You as a person with a living soul, you will get worse. That is without doubt. You will get worse. You will drift further away from God. No matter what your success is, you will drift further away from God, and you'll become more enslaved to your sins. We all have besetting sins. We all have bad habits. If you're a covetous person, if you're always demanding more and more and more, you'll get worse this year if you don't know the Lord. If you're a selfish person, you'll get worse this year if you don't know the Lord. If you're a manipulative person, if you're a cruel person, you can be cruel to people, you'll get worse this year if you don't want the Lord. If you're a depressive person, you'll be more depressed this year if you don't know the Lord. Yes, you may well have your successes, but if you reject the Lord this year, this is what will happen. You're wishing evil upon yourself. Dear friends, this is a terrible thing. And may I say, and I have to say this, this year, 2018, well, it may be your last year. This may be the year that you actually have to stand before God and give an account of your life. And if you don't know the Lord, well, you'll be full of sin and full of regret, because you know that you could have come. You heard the message, you could have come, but you didn't. And what a terrible thing that would be, dear friends. You must come. You must come to Christ. Seek Him this year. How do I come to God? How do I come to Christ? Well, let's just look at verse 12, the verse after verse 11. Then shall ye call upon me. You have to call to God, and ye shall go and pray unto me. You personally go and you pray to God, and you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. Come and help me and save me. And the promise, if you do this, I will hearken unto you. I will hear you, says God, and I will come and bless you and save you. And verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Well, that is a tremendous verse, even in and of itself. Verse 13, searching the Lord with all your heart. You have to come to Christ in that way. And may that be my last word to all of you, again, to believers and to unbelievers. May we in 2018 give our whole hearts to God. All your heart. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Don't be people who are half-hearted. Are you a half-hearted Christian? You come to church sometimes, but not all the time, because you're a half-hearted Christian. All your heart is required. Perhaps you're a divided Christian. You have a divided heart. Yes, half of your heart is for the Lord, half of your heart is for the world. What can the world give me? My business, my career, my personal ambitions. A divided heart. No, the scriptures say all your heart. You'll never be blessed as a Christian truly if you only give half your heart. You'll never be truly blessed. You have to give your whole heart to God, and then, well, you do that and you come and see me this time next year, and I'm sure you'll say to me, you were right. You give your whole heart to God, and He blesses you and lifts you up and does wonderful things in your life. May that be the resolution for each and every one of us. Give yourself wholly to God, because Christ gave Himself wholly for us, suffered and died for our sin. He didn't hold anything back. He was on that cross until all of your sins were forgiven. Nothing held back. All of His heart, all of His love given to you, given to us. How much more ought we to give to Him? Well, may the Lord bless each and every one of us. We wish you all a peaceful new year, and may the Lord prosper us and grant us gospel success in 2018. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father. Oh, dear Lord, we thank Thee for all Thy mercies and goodness toward us in 2017. But Lord, we confess once again all our sins and all our faults. And Lord, we pray that in 2018, we will give Thee all of our hearts, as a collective, as individuals, that we may be blessed, that we may have assurance of salvation, that we may truly know that we are Thy children. Lord, we ask it all in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.